And I think that's really what Jesus was trying to say to this crowd. You know, when you're at the end of your rope, here I am. You know, I'm right here. You know, a little toddler when they're just learning to walk, you know. Our little Dawson just started, well, he walked at about 9 months. But when he was first starting, he was falling on everything and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And his mommy and daddy kept saying, come on, you can get up. You can do it. You can do it. And he, you know, he started walking. And so often we fall, we have problems, we're at the end of our rope, we don't know what to do. And God is all the time saying, you can do this. Come on. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to walk out of the room while you're learning to walk.
Sometimes we have to let go of the rope and just believe he's going to catch us.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's sometimes those steps we have to take. And those can be hard.
Oh.
And again, that's why, going back to an earlier comment, why we need to be taught so that we can rest in the promises of God when everything crashes around us. Sometimes you just have to let go and fall into his hands.
Absolutely, you do. But I think there's a lot of people who feel so self-centered, I guess is the word, so self-assured, so like, I can do this. I don't need God. I'm fine. I've gotten this far by myself already. I don't need God. You know, I've heard that through the years. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, yeah, that's great. That's fine for you. But I'm fine. I'm doing great. Mike, how would you answer the person like,
well, I was just thinking during the song, we want to say it's unfortunate that someone comes to Christ in a need, and it be tragic or death or whatever. But in reality, I think God lets you have your free will.
Sure.
So in your free will, you might be educated, good paying job, good family, and you don't need God because you don't need anything.
Yeah, you're right? Doing just fine.
But there's going to come a point in time, if you don't need him in this life, you're going to need him in the next one.
Sure.
So while we're here, he gives us our free will. If we choose not to, then we don't. But I think he allows, because his love for us, he gives us the free will. Then one day, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to call on him, and he knows that. And where will he be? He will be right there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go back to the metaphor of my grandson, Dawson, because here he is in a room. His little playroom is carpeted, where most of the house is not, right? But that's where he plays and whatever. And so he has a little bit of free reign right there because he's going to fall on carpet. It's no big deal, right? And so, but when he started to walk, suddenly that was not a good surface for him because it was harder to walk on carpet when you're a baby. And so they moved him out kind of in areas where their floor is like a wood floor. And so, he's going to fall and he's going to get hurt and bang into stuff. But if you don't try to walk, if the parent says, I'm never going to let him walk because he might get hurt, so I'm just never going to let him walk. Well, then you've got an 18-year-old kid who is still in a stroller, you know, which would be very impractical.
We still have some of those.
Yeah. But I guess God in his love and his mercy allows us to learn. And so when Jesus says here, you are blessed if you're at the end of your rope. Yay! Because now I can work in your life.
Amen.
You know?
Yep.
That's what this is all about. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that? We're getting up to the top of the hour. This first hour has flown by.
It surely has.
It truly has. So comment on that before we get up here.
Well, I know in my own life, it wasn't any huge crisis that brought me to God. I mean, sometimes God brings, maybe not a major crisis, but he puts a mirror up in front of your face. That's kind of how it was with me. We did a Bible study. I wasn't even saved, and I'm going to Bible studies. Picture that. But we did a Bible study on the sower and the seed. And, you know, the guy who's one of the leaders in Campus Crusade for Christ, you know, we'd just done that Bible study, and now we couldn't find anybody to witness to. This was in a residence hall. You know, everybody was like the rapture had taken place. And so Roger asked me, how are you doing? And I said, you know, I've been thinking about the Bible study we did. And He said, well, what kind of ground are you? And I said, well, I'm pretty rocky, pretty weedy. I didn't say it in those words, but at that point then...
You recognized
God,
your need?
God had helped. Yes, I reckon. Again, I was poor in spirit at that point. Right. I knew my need.
Right.
And that was the day I consciously, knowingly, forever accepted Jesus.
Amen. So that's why Jesus starts out this whole teaching, in my opinion, with, hey, if you're teachable, you're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the end of your rope and you can't fix it, sweetie, that's exactly where I want you. And, you know, as parents and grandparents, it so often it's hard to let our kids make those mistakes. And to this day, I refuse to bail anybody out of jail. and I mean, Mike, as far as, you know, family members. And there's a reason for that, because if you bail them out of jail, they don't pay that consequence, right? They don't learn.
Right.
And so often God allows us, like a parent who refuses to bail somebody out of jail, he says, you know what, honey, you need this. You need to go through this, right?
Right. Well, Paul said, you know, you reap what you sow.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's not, those consequences are not pleasant. People try and blame it on God. And it's like, oh, no, honey, you were planting those seeds for years. Your crop just came in.
Exactly. So I love the fact that Jesus starts the Beatitudes out with, hey, when you can't fix it, that's where I want you.
Amen.
When you're fixing days, don't seem to be working anymore. That's exactly where I want you. Station ID, we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
I accidentally cut off the first, the AM stations. They're 1340, 1350, 1400. 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM, and YouTube / 10 Talk Radio / live. If you're listening and you want to catch us live on YouTube, you will see Mike and Jen and Pastor Jim in the studio, and I'm in the control room running the show. What can I say? So you won't see me, but you can hear me. So this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marsha, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim. We call him fondly PJ, and Mike and his beautiful bride, Jen, and part of our radio team. The radio team has been growing. I'm very excited about that, Pastor Jim. More people wanting to get involved and spreading the word, taking turns.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Because I love it. It's grown quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much as I love being on here, it's great to share this time with other people.
Yes, it really
both
is.
Both in the studio with different people and just have other people take some of this. It's wonderful.
It really is, isn't it? It's great to be here. So we're glad you're joining us today. We have a prayer ministry. It's called prayers at bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we changed, instead of writing all that whole thing out a few years ago, we shortened it to bohmglobal.com. We actually got our own YouTube handle this week,
yes.
Pastor Jim. It's going to be BOHM Global.
Yes.
Okay, so on YouTube. And we're not quite ready to launch that, but we're coming along. But we have the handle.
I've already started putting our worship songs there. So
all right, BOHM Global. And so we also are working on a brand new website, which I talked about at the beginning of the show. Very excited about that. And that is bohmglobal.com. That is the name of the website. Don't go there yet, because you'll see the old one, and it's not good anymore.
Right.
It's very outdated. So we're doing, and this is a first-class operation. It's going to be very nice. And we'll let you know in 3 or 4 weeks when it's ready to launch. Be sure and let you know. Pastor Jim, talk about the prayer ministry and why they should use that email.
I was going to interrupt you if you didn't let me. if you have a prayer need, and whether big or little, it doesn't matter. God's concerned about everything
Amen.
That goes on in your life.
Amen.
So I would encourage you, let us know. Again, that address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send your requests in, and either Betty or I will pick them up. Betty, another member of the radio team. We'll pick those up. We'll create a prayer to go with your request. We'll send it out to our prayer team. And we're believing that God is going to move. And we have seen that happen through the prayer ministry. The only thing that we ask, and it's not much, is when God answers your prayer, please let us know, because I do have the subfolder in my mailbox for answered prayers.
And there's so many answered prayers all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mike and Jen had a great praise report this morning about her immigration status. Things are coming along so good for them. And you know, it's just, we just need to start making notes. I have these little tiny notebooks, and everybody in my church has seen these. In fact, some people, when they see them out in a store, they'll buy me some, so I got a stack. It's great. But little thing, little elastic thing, and I put those every day. I'm writing down the prayer needs, what I'm praying about, what I'm interceding, and you guys were right there on that list, and I cannot wait tomorrow morning to get my red pen and mark a check beside that you were hearing from immigration and things were progressing, because that's a direct answered prayer.
Right.
And so, Jim, we are seeing answers to prayer every single day in the ministry, and we have been for years.
Amen. And again, we need more prayer warriors, always. So if you're interested, you can just email prayers@bohmglobal.com. Betty and I will add you to the list. The only thing that we would ask there is that you believe that God will move. I mean, that's...
Exactly.
You know, we send out the prayers. We believe in praying in unity.
Amen.
And that, you know, God said, if any two of you, and we've got a whole bunch more than two, agree on anything, I'll do it for you.
Prayer of agreement.
Amen.
And that's what prayers@bohmglobal.com is all about. We have a new page on our new website that I've just been working on, and it's called Prayer and Encouragement. And so part of it will be an invitation to use our prayer line, and part of it will be things about encouragement on a daily basis and things. Betty's already recorded a little snippet for it, which is really good. And we want to encourage our audience to realize that God cares about every need that you have, and we want you to use that prayer line. And we got to start the second hour with this song by Casting Crowns, been on my heart. He's God of all my days, everything in all your days. Listen to it. He wants to be that for you, God of all your days.
I came to you with my heart in pieces and found the God with healing in his hands. I looked to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you and stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my.
Give you all my praise, my sin.
searching, God, you are my answers. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. And in my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change.
My seasons change. God stays the same. We go through all kinds of things. He's the God of all our days. I find it very interesting that the second beatitude has to do with mourning, being sad. I don't know if I can tell this without crying, but Friday, I was at the bedside of somebody very dear to me. And I was telling this person how much I loved her. She's suffering greatly. She had been very agitated and very upset and very confused and had a very hard morning. And I was getting ready to leave. And she doesn't hardly talk anymore. And she looked up at me and she said, "Please pray for me." And I sat down on her bed and I just pulled her into my arms. And I held her. And God just caused me to be able to pray very, almost whisper-like, very soft, very slow, very heartfelt. And then he had me start singing over her, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace." And I sang it over her and she began to settle down. And I told her how much I loved her. And late that night, I got an email from her husband, said that she had been so agitated. And from that moment on, she laid down and she slept straight for 4 hours. She was at peace. I didn't intend to tell that story. But Jesus' second beatitude is, you're blessed when you mourn because you'll be comforted. God happened to send me right then. I wasn't even planning on going right then. It just worked out in my schedule. I can do it. I went in there. And people, sometimes we are the agent. We are the vessel that God uses to bring that comfort and that peace. PJ.
Yeah, people.
Let me get you back on.
People sometimes will spiritualize this, and I suppose you can take it that way. Blessed are those who mourn for their sins and whatever, they'll be comforted. But I think literally it's talking about people who are in sorrow for loss. You know, God, all through Scripture, comforts the bereaved. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, you know, the God calls him the God of all comfort.
So, I love that. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, mm-hmm. verse 2. Look at when Lazarus died, his friend, and he went and he felt sorrow, Jesus, and he stood there and he wept.
Yeah.
Shortest verse in the Bible,
Jesus
right?
Wept.
Jesus and, wept.
You know, well, and Isaiah says that the Israelites in the wilderness grieved the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere in Isaiah, it says, in all their affliction, all the affliction of the Israelites, he, God, was afflicted. You know, he feels our pain. Sometimes we have this, well, it's more of a Greek sort of view, philosophical view of God who is above suffering. And I don't believe that. That's not the God of the Bible.
Oh, no.
The God of the Bible has emotions and is pained. You know, he feels our pain.
When that was happening Friday, I was very aware that it was him pouring out of me, mm-hmm. you know, singing over her. And just speaking peace to her soul. And I believe that that's what God wants us to be, vessels that go and act like Jesus would act if he were sitting right there. If it had been him sitting there, which it was, because he's in me, right? So he was sitting right there in that chair when I felt that pain, you know, and knew I had to help alleviate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of the compassion of God. I mean, you know, we'll see it as we go through Matthew. Jesus had compassion.
Yes, he did.
And in Greek, that is such a
yes.
strong word. Yes. I mean, it's gut-wrenching, basically, is yeah. what it means. That you feel for somebody else's position, where they're at, and you have to do something.
Seeing her struggle Friday. Seeing how confused and all of that, it just did that very thing. That compassion just welled up in my heart. Mike, you want to comment on this? These are hard times, but we all go through them with relatives, with friends, with spouses. We go through difficult times in our lives.
I don't know what to say.
It's okay. But you know what it is? Jesus does. And Jesus, so many times when we don't know what to say, like in that given moment I was found myself in, starting to sing over her was exactly what was needed. And that's what calmed. And that's what took care of it, you know? And I guess what we're trying to say today is Jesus sat there on this mountain and he says, you're blessed if you mourn, because you're going to get to know the Comforter. Being a pastor all these years, I have done so many funerals. I jokingly say I love to marry and bury, because I do. I love both functions as a pastor. And seeing so many times standing by caskets or in hospitals as people went to be with Jesus or in their homes and watching that situation and knowing that only God could be the comforter. That he supernaturally had to reach down and help in that situation right then. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people I've been with as they pass from this earth into eternal life. And it is real. And I can tell you with certainty that so many times I've seen a smile come on a face of somebody who is just seeing Jesus and is leaving this earthly realm and entering into the presence of Almighty God. And it is an amazing thing to behold when you see they're like, wow, like their eyes open and they're seeing. And there's many times I've said, you're seeing Jesus. And there'll be a nod or there'll be a grin. And I know that they are right then in the presence of God. And Jesus is saying, when you're mourning, you know what? You're going to be comforted. The Holy Spirit, Jesus calls the friend in John chapter 14, the comforter. He says the Holy Spirit's going to come and he'll be your friend. He'll be your comforter.
I guess if I were to say something, I would say for me, it would be just a place to be still in God.
Yeah.
If you're witnessing what you're speaking of.
Yeah.
You're seeing the presence of
yes.
God before
yes.
your very eyes
yes.
in the flesh.
Right.
Pertaining that you're Christian,
I mean,
if you believe in Christ and you're witnessing what's happening, it's...
I've got to tell this little story. I wasn't planning on it, but it goes with this right here. One of the people that I was with at their bedside when they went to be with Jesus was a young man that I had sold, he and his wife, their first home, and then their second home. And I got a call, and he asked me to meet him for lunch one day. This was probably about 15 years ago. And he sat there... And he had been a Navy SEAL. And he had experienced a lot in his life. But he sat there and he looked across the table at me and he said, I'm dying of liver cancer. And to make a long story short, over the next several months, I got very involved with his wife, their two little children, the family, and was with them many times, praying over him, believing for a healing. The time came when he was in a hospital bed in his living room. And I'd been there a couple of days before, And I was at a conference on Saturday morning down in Bradenton, and I got a call. He's not going to make it. Can you get here? And I just left the conference, and I drove straight there. And when I pulled up in front of the house, remember this story, PJ? When I pulled up in front of the house, the women were all out in the driveway. Some were smoking. Some were just talking. And I opened my car door, and I heard his shrieking and screaming in the house. And they said, go, please go. And so I go in through the laundry room. All the men are in the living room. And in the family room where he was in his bed was the nurse who was waiting on more morphine to arrive from hospice. And she said to me, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. The morphine has not arrived. And I walked over to his bed, and I grabbed his hand, and he looked at me. And I knew in my spirit, I just knew it. It wasn't that I heard an audible voice, but I knew it was time for him to go to Jesus. I just knew it. The morphine had not arrived. And all of a sudden, he looked at me, and he stopped screaming in that instant. And all the family came running in from the driveway in the living room. Now there's 15 or 20 people around the bed. And I'm looking at him, and I said, you're ready to go be with Jesus, aren't you? And he looked up and gave me a big grin. And I said, oh my gosh, you're seeing him, aren't you? Because his whole countenance changed. And he was gone. From screaming 5 minutes before in pain, 5 minutes later, he was in the presence of Almighty God. And now the whole place is crying and bawling. And they're laying on him. I mean, you know, his wife, everybody. I mean, it was like, oh my. But they saw this happen. And it changed lives, because here was the Comforter had come. The Comforter had come to take him home. I had the privilege of having his funeral in Trinity, and it was huge. And hundreds of people there with, you know, like Navy personnel. And it was one of those kinds of funerals. And I was able to relate that story. And there wasn't a dry eye in the place. As people, you know, and then the invitation, God wants you in relationship with him, you know. And so I love what Jesus said here. I didn't have any intention of telling either one of those stories. But Jesus says, you're blessed when you mourn. It's okay. It's okay. Because you're going to meet the Comforter. I'm going to cue up another song. So one of you talk here a minute, well, will you?
And I think, I like what you just said right then. It's okay to mourn. Sometimes we feel like it's not, or
sign of weakness.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I know with me, my father passed away just a little over a year ago. And I didn't think it would affect me as we got toward the anniversary, but it did. And I had to pray about it because, you know, it wasn't always the best of relationships. And I had to do a lot of forgiving, but I didn't think the anniversary would be that big of a thing, but it kind of was, and I had to pray about it, because I'm one of those people that tends not to mourn at that moment.
A lot of people are that way.
Take my key, turn off the emotions for a while.
Right, right.
Of course, the following Christmas is never good, because this year it was just a particular song. It had nothing to really do with my dad, but it was I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I thought, no, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Again.
Right.
Ray thought I was having a stroke. So, but yeah, people would look at this, blessed are those who mourn. Yeah, right. No, it is a blessing, because that's when you get to know the Comforter. That's when God can come in and hold you.
Amen. If you never had to go through a hard time, if you never had to experience a pain, you would not understand the grace of God and the absolute love that he has for us. Mike, did you want to comment on that?
His comfort. I disagree.
It's so true, isn't it? It's just, yeah. We would never experience that. I want to play this song, Reckless Love. I love it because he loves us. Corey Asbury. What do you want to say about that song, Pastor Jim?
God's love is reckless, because he takes a big chance on us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would just encourage everybody to listen to the words of this song, because God takes a huge chance when he loves us so lavishly. And it is, it's a lavish kind of love.
Oh, he loves us. It's just like how much you love your kids or your dear friends or your spouse, but this is so much more than any of Amen. That could possibly be.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. And you have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Love that. Woo! We're going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, and we're going to talk about the meek. And the meek, it says, are in verse 5. Jesus says, blessed, happy, joyous, spiritually prosperous, all of those things in the Amplified Bible, are the meek. They are the mild, the patient, the long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Pastor Jim, what's this talking about in Matthew 5, 5?
Well, actually, this was one of the verses. Am I on?
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Actually, this is one of the verses where I got to thinking, well, you know, Jesus really amplifies on this later. We tend to think of meekness as weakness. And that's not at all what it is. To be meek in the Bible means I know who stands behind me. And I can be humble. I can be gentle. I can be kind. And I can turn the other cheek. Down in, starting in verse 38, you know, when he talks about retaliation. You know, Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist the evil one, the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Okay.
Kind of hard to do.
Kind of hard to do. Nobody said it was easy.
No.
But that's, you know, that's being meek. It's meekness is surrendering the ultimate outcome of my wrongs to God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It means I've been wronged, but I'm surrendering the outcome to God. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands.
They don't owe me anymore.
Right. Well, if it's forgiveness, and it's also,
right.
You know, Paul says, leave room for the wrath of God. It's not my place to judge. It's not my place
exactly.
to mete out punishment. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's what meekness is. I'm surrendering my persecutors, my people that gossip about me, whatever. I'm surrendering the final outcome of that into God's hands.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And because it says they will inherit the earth, so there will be blessings from being that patient, mild, long-suffering
right.
person.
Right.
Mike, you want to comment on any of that?
Nope.
Okay, that's all right. That's okay. It's okay. Because you know what? This is serious stuff. When we have an opportunity, when we are stressed, when we're in the middle of a situation where we've been wronged, when our patience is running thin, and when we are meek. Remember the Bible said that Moses was the meekest
mm-hmm.
man? Okay. Meekness is also talking about being teachable, being humble. Being humble, right? Yeah. Do you want to comment on that, Jen?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about being humble.
Like, yeah, please do.
When I think the best description of being humble is like you always honor God through everything that you have, like
okay.
the money, the cars, everything, because you know that it doesn't come from your greatness,
right.
but
exactly
from His greatness.
Right. Yes, and that's being humble, isn't
right.
it? Giving the credit where the credit is
right.
due. Right. So, Jim, talk to us about why Moses was the meekest man.
I think it had to do with, well, all the times that people murmured against him, let's say.
Oh, yeah, he had a whole lot of persecution.
What did he do? He could have, God said, just move out of the way. I'm going to destroy them. I'll make you a great nation. And Moses said, no, no. He interceded for them. Even though they lied about Moses, they rebelled against Moses. Even his own brother and sister did that. And yet he left room for the judgment of God.
In other words, he didn't take matters into his own
exactly.
hands.
Exactly. He left it in God's hands.
And when he came down off that mountain, saw that golden calf, which was all of the jewelry that they had taken from that had been given to them from the Egyptians, you know, I mean, you talk about a blessing right there. That was a gift.
Look, a calf popped out.
Yeah, and that's what Aaron says. Oh, we just threw it in the fire,
and
look what
calf
happened.
Popped out.
You know, that's ridiculous. Of course you made it. You made a calf. But I think in our humanness, so often we want to say, well, this happened. I didn't have anything to do with this. You know, it didn't have anything to do with my actions or my attitude or my behavior or my unforgiveness. This just happened because it happened, right? And a lot of times we're living the consequences of our own actions.
Well, nobody wants to face up to that.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem. But But yeah, and I think this goes too in like holding grudges.
Oh yeah,
because you know that's us trying to bring down the wrath of God on somebody.
Yeah.
It all has meekness is willingness to forgive, willingness to let God do what He needs to do, willingness to just shake it out of our hands.
Right. Well, again, we go back to the first thing Jesus talked about is you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope, when you can't fix it, right? You're blessed when circumstances happen and you are mourning, you know, and you learn who the comforter is. And here's the third one today. You're blessed when you're meek, when you are mild. It says in the Amplified Bible. So many people are not mild. They are, right? They're going to get their way, or they're going to get even, or they're going to hold a grudge, and they're going to let everybody know how mad they are, right?
Right. And that's not being meek. That's just the opposite. That just does nothing more than create discord and all sorts of other issues. Because if I see myself as above the law, or that's not quite what I want. That's not quite it. But if I see myself as not being at risk of any judgment,
right?
That's really a dangerous place to be, because I'm probably standing right there at judgment. And that's the opposite of meekness. Meekness says, yeah, I'm letting it go. I'm letting God do it. The opposite of that would be holding on to it, holding on to a grudge, holding on to my anger, holding on to my unforgiveness, and trying to give out the punishment that I think that other person deserves.
Did you start to say something, Mike?
Yeah, I was going to say, we all want that in each other. If I offend you,
right,
want you to forgive me. Mm-hmm. But likewise, if you've offended me, I want you to forgive me for offending you.
Right.
So we all desire that. So part of meekness is distilled inside of us. If we have a little bit of faith in God and you have the love of God, you're going to be forgiving and you're going to want people to forgive you.
One would hope, yes.
Right.
Let's go to Psalm 37, verse 7 through 11. I never got here this morning in our sermon, but be still and rest in the Lord. Psalm 37, 7. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for Him. This is what we have to do, guys, if we're going to learn to be meek. Well, I love this. This goes right along with, and patiently lean yourself upon Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. In other words, when people do you wrong, don't get all up, you know, and drive yourself crazy over it and stay up all night. Verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. Fret not yourself.
Fret not thyself.
Fret not thyself. I love it. It tends only to evil doing. For evildoers, what's going to happen to them? Verse 9, will be cut off, and those who wait and hope and look for the Lord shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while and the evildoers will be no more. You know what? People have a way of reaping what they sow. Mm-hmm. Though you look with care where they used to be, you will not find them. But verse 11 is where I wanted to get. Goes right along here with Matthew 5, verse 5. The meek will inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Well, you know why that is. Duh. Because I'm letting go of all that.
Right.
I've let go of, I've refrained from my anger. I've forsaken wrath.
Right.
I'm not fretting about things.
Right.
Because it tends only to evil.
It does.
Fret is just another word for worry.
It is.
So if I'm worrying, then I'm drifting into trying to hold on to things or control things that I can't control, that I need to just give over to God to control. And then I need to remember, yeah, evildoers will be cut off.
They will be.
That's what's going to happen. And I love that. The meek will inherit the land.
Jesus quoted this.
And, yeah.
He quoted this in Matthew 5:5. He knew the word.
and delight themselves in abundant peace.
Abundant peace.
Because we're letting God be in control. Ooh, I shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me.
Yeah, that's right.
Same thing. I mean, if I'm surrendering it all to God, then that's where I can be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'm worried about this, that, or the other thing, oh, what about this, Lord? What about this? That's fretting. That's worrying.
I like what you just said a minute ago. Fret not yourself.
Fret not
thyself.
It's
right here. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil doing. So what happens is when we're fretting, we get off into worry. We get off into anxiety. Those are sin, guys. Anything apart from faith is sin. So when we are walking in that fretting and anxiousness and that I don't know what's going to happen here. Oh, God, where'd you go anyway? I'm mad. I'm going to make somebody pay for this. You know, that's fretting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Fret not thyself. I love that Jesus talks about our practical living here, mm-hmm, in Matthew 5:5. You got to be meek. And he's calling this meekness. He's saying, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Meekness, mild, patient, and long-suffering.
Well, sometimes you have to be long-suffering. I mean, it says a little while, the wicked will be no more. And remember, that's God's timing, not ours.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, we know ultimately, read the book of Revelation, we know ultimately what's going to happen. But
when we give it this situation, whatever the situation is, to God, and we feel like we've been wronged, we feel like we've been hurt, we feel like we've been misunderstood. Maybe you lost a job somewhere. And it was like, why did somebody lied about me? Whatever. Okay. I've had those times in my life where, mm-hmm, I've lost things that was not my fault, that shouldn't have happened, but it happened. Okay. And I can tell you now, because hindsight is so much better than foresight.
You think.
Hindsight, I look back and I go, it happened to them for doing what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
One person wronged me severely many, many years ago. And within a few months of that event, he passed away at a very young age. You say, well, did God kill him? No. I don't believe that God does that. I believe that our actions, what we sow, we reap.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a huge event that happened that this man did to me. And he passed away shortly after that, unexpectedly. And I was like, whoa. And three or four of his co-conspirators also died within the year. Hmm. Very strange. But I guess I'm saying all that to say that when life happens and we feel we have been wronged and we have suffered unjustly and something has happened, we've been lied about. Believe me, I've been lied about so much in my life, guys, I can't even begin to tell you. Mike here has known me longer than anybody right now. And I will tell you, and you don't even know all the years before I knew you, Mike, and all these. I mean, I've been lied about, I've been talked about, whatever. And I have learned through that, all those times of suffering, to give it to God, this meekness, long-suffering, patience. Okay, God, I can't fix this. And I cannot get on the radio and tell, well, this was said, and that's not true. No, you don't do that.
Right.
You become meek, like Moses.
Well, and, you know, Jesus, kind of paralleling this, says a couple of times, forgive and you'll be forgiven.
Exactly.
If you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father is not going to forgive you.
Talk about that.
Well, those are tough words. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm anywhere near perfect. We watch a lot of crime shows. And oftentimes the people who've lost loved ones to a killer, I'll never forgive them. I'm a Christian, but I can't forgive them. And I just sit there and I start praying for that person. Because I think, oh, you don't, no, you've got to forgive. It's not... is for your sake, because it frees you.
Absolutely.
Forgiveness frees you, but it also frees the other person, because if I'm not forgiving you, then I'm holding on to a claim to you, and I don't have a claim. to somebody else who's wronged me. I don't have that claim. I need to let go so that God can do what he needs to do.
Exactly. We need to release them.
Right. Because if I hold on to somebody in unforgiveness, then I'm just hindering God, not only in my own life, but very possibly also in theirs.
The verse you quoted was Mark 11:25, and it is the verse right after where Jesus says, speak to this mountain, and it'll be cast into the sea. If you don't doubt, but you believe, and you speak to this mountain, it'll be cast into the sea. But if you don't forgive, that's verse 25. Right. So I believe that that there's a nugget right there with a lot of people that say, well, I asked God to do it, nothing happened. Well, okay, what's your attitude here? What's going on in your heart? I mean, forgiveness means I let you go. You don't owe me anymore. You can't make it right. I cancel the debt, right? The story, the parable, I just read it in Matthew when I was reading through again last week about the guy that owes, all this money, right?
Millions of dollars.
Well, first it's the guy that didn't owe that much, right?
Oh, you mean love much?
No, the debtors, the two debtors.
The slave who owed his master a lot, and the master forgave him.
Exactly.
Then the slave turned around.
Jesus told the story in
Matthew. Another slave came to him who just owed him a few dollars.
Right.
And said, forgive me, and he wouldn't do it. So the master came back and threw him into jail.
Yeah, and he said, you're going to stay here. And it's like Matthew 17, 18, 19, someplace in there. And it's so true. When we don't release forgiveness, and it's very hard to do that in our natural selves, but when we are full of Jesus, it makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
When we can actually say, okay, God, I can't right this minute feel that forgiveness. I'm going to do it by faith. How do you get saved? You do that by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see. How many times you heard me say this, Pastor Jim? 4 million. You don't see a little plastic Jesus come flying around in the heavens and come down and land in your chest, and now you have Jesus in your heart. You don't see that. You do it by faith. Okay, Jesus, I believe that what you say to me is true. You died on the cross for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come and live in me. That's done by faith. There's not a little plastic Jesus that comes flying down and landing in your chest. It's the same thing with forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That when we genuinely forgive from the heart, it's not that we may feel it. I mean, that, remember, Pastor Jim, the little four spiritual laws, sometimes it takes a while for the caboose, which is your feelings, to catch up with the engine,
right,
which is your faith, right?
Which is, yes. Which,
remember that diagram?
And the coal car was fact.
Fact,
which,
right,
fuels your faith.
Right, right. And so, but on the end of it is feelings, because your feelings, mm-hmm, a lot of times, you don't feel like forgiving.
Right.
But when you, in an act of faith, say, okay, God, I accept that you're telling me to do this. And your word says in Mark 11:25, if I don't forgive, you're not going to forgive me. I want you to forgive me. So you know what? By faith, I'm going to do this.
Right.
I'm going to forgive this person. And yeah, they've wronged me. But I let go of it. I let go of it. They don't owe me. They can't make it right.
That parable is in Matthew chapter 18.
Okay.
Starting in verse 21.
Okay, such a good parable. 18:21.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do we get from this? Jen, Mike, either of you want to comment before we do this last song?
Well, I just wanted to amplify that thing that you said about,
go ahead,
forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's kind of like telling us that when someone's done wrong to us, let go and let God handle it.
Yes.
You're not going to get anything if you're going to do the things that they done to you.
Right. It doesn't work. You
right.
can't. They can't make it right. The bottom line is they really can't make it right. Okay? The things this man did to me many, many years ago, he could not make it right. But he didn't want to make it right either.
Mm-hmm. What I take from it is if someone had wronged me, and no matter the degree, the problem I would have with it is it'll be sitting on my shoulder,
mm-hmm,
eating at me.
Yep.
Exactly.
Giving me evil thoughts, bad thoughts, mm-hmm, or just distracting me from being able to live normal, happy, and forgiving. Him or her would make me feel better. It's not going to make them feel any better unless I tell them, hey, I forgive you. I don't hold this against you.
Exactly.
And hug and say, I love you.
And sometimes people, the other party says, nah, I don't want to be part of that. You know, that's their problem.
That's up to them. And
right.
Yeah. And Jesus actually goes one step further.
Yeah.
And we'll read about it here in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. If you know your brother has something against you, he says, before you offer your gift at the altar,
yeah,
go and make it right.
Make it right.
So it's not even, you know, and again, you're right, because God had me do that with a particular, well, with my ex-wife, and I have no idea how she reacted, but God told me to write a letter. So I did, asking, you know, listing, these are the things I know I did,
mm-hmm.
that I wronged you. And I don't know. Don't know what happened, but you know what?
But you did your part.
I did what I needed to do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're going to play this wonderful song, Give Me Jesus, one of my favorite songs. And people, that's what we need. We need Jesus. We need more Jesus. Read through the book of Matthew with us this month. And as we approach Easter, read through it. Wednesday night Bible study starts at 6:30 at Beacon of Hope. Prayer meeting actually starts at 5:45. You can come anytime. It's about an hour Bible study. Pastor Jim and I this week, we are going to be talking more about these Beatitudes.
We might actually get one or two more done.
We might at the rate we're going. But it's going to be group discussion. We're going to teach Bible study over the next few weeks as a lot of discussion. So bring your Bible, bring a notebook, and come. We have tables set up in the fellowship hall. That's where we have Bible study. We welcome you. Everyone is welcome. Wednesday night, 2058 Weaver Park Drive. Listen to this song. I love it. Give me Jesus.
Oh, give me Jesus. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Oh, give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me
is all I need. Oh, it's all I need.
Dear one, God loves you so very much. He sent his son into this world to die for you.
Oh, he's all I need.
He's all you need. You just may not realize that. So in the quietness of your heart or out loud. In fact, the word says, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. And if you do that right now, you say, Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you came to this earth and died on a cross for me. Forgive me for all the sins, all the shortcomings of my life. Just give me Jesus. Invite him into your heart right now, wherever you are in this beautiful world. Ask him to come and live on the inside of you, and he will. Give me Jesus. I only need Jesus. We need you, Lord, so much. When we pray for our listeners, you know who they are and where they are, whether they're listening live now or later on down the road. Lord, let this moment in time be a life-changing event for each one of them. Yes, Lord, we just need you. So we speak peace to our listeners. We speak that the truth of your word would so permeate them. The show that they've just heard will bless them and help them make a decision for you. We speak life and peace to our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Each have a minute. Tell us. Final word. Anything you'd like to say? Final word, Jen? Anything?
Well, I just wanted to thank God for all the blessings.
Yes.
For the plans that he has for me.
Yes. Because he does.
Yes. I'm so honored and grateful having a God like him.
Yes. And we are so grateful that you and Mike found each other and that you are wonderfully, beautifully, happily married. And thanks for being on the show and part of the radio team, Jen. You're a real asset, and we thank God for
honor.
You. Michael, John Michael.
I would like to add that if anyone has a prayer request, call it in, because we have some prayer warriors here at Beacon of
Amen.
Hope.
Amen.
God does answer prayers.
He does. Amen. And we hear it all the time. The praise reports are so many. Mike, we love you. We love you. We love you. We thank you both.
Too.
You're just an amazing couple.
Thank you.
Pastor Jim.
Oh, my. You know, I can never sit through Give Me Jesus.
Oh, I know. Just gets to you, doesn't it?
It does. And that's what this whole radio show has been about. I mean,
it is.
We've talked about knowing your spiritual, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. We've talked about knowing your spiritual position. And how much that can bring us to Jesus.
Amen.
If we know we're spiritually poor, we're going to cry out, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. That's it.
You know, if we're mourning, it's give me Jesus.
Sums it up perfectly,
doesn't
it? If we're
meek, give me Jesus. Yeah, that song summed it up perfectly. And again, for just our listeners, he's all you need.
Yes. Pastor Jim, it's a joy and an absolute blessing in my life to work with you every day in this ministry. God bless
Mine
you.
Mine too.
God bless you. To all of you out there, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact Pastor Jim personally, Pastor Jim at BOHMGlobal.com, or me, Pastor, at BOHMGlobal.com. We hope you'll listen again next week. We are here every single Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to a service. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 6:30, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. We are right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point. Easy to find, right off of Hercules in Clearwater, and we welcome you to our services. God bless every one of you, Mike, Jen, and Pastor Jim. What a joy. This has been an amazing show. I've loved every minute of it. What a joy. God bless every one of you. See you next week, listeners.
Oh, when I am alone.
And when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.